Want to pick a song out of the hymnal? We'll try to sing it.
90.
Let's do this first. Let's pray.
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that we have this opportunity, Lord, to come out tonight to worship you in song and in word, Lord, and just lift up our hearts to you, dear Heavenly Father. We first of all, Lord, we want to pray for our pastor, Lord, who's away, Lord. We want to pray for his health, help him to feel better, Lord. He's feeling a little bit under the weather, and we just pray that you would just lift him up, Lord, heal him, help him to feel better, and we thank you for that, and we ask you for anyone else, Lord, in our congregation that's having problems with their health or Lord, they're just under the weather, Lord. We just pray that you would be with them, Lord, heal them and help them to get better. We thank you for this time that we have tonight, Lord. Just be with us, Lord. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Did you say number 90?
Yes, sir.
90. You know my book was open to that. Is open. A new name written down in glory. Number 90. I was once a sinner, but I came pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that he always kept his word. There's a new name down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white robed angel sings the story, a sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven now. I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown. When the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angel sings the story, a sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace, oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white robed angel sings the story, a sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam. Amen. The burdens have arrived. Ah, that's good. Brother Fred was wondering if he had to preach tonight. Amen. Yeah. All right. Anybody else have a favorite out there? Rosie?
197.
That's what you call a grand entrance. Look, you guys have had a busy day, huh? Yes. I've seen the lightning flashing and heard the thunder roll. I've felt since breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of my Savior tell. I feel a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No. Never to leave me alone. When in affliction's valley I'm treading a road of care, my Savior helps me to carry my cross when heavy to bear. My feet entangled with briars, ready to cast me down. My Savior whispers his promise, I never will leave thee alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. For me, he opened the fountain, the crimson cleansing tide. For me, he's waiting in glory, seated upon his throne. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No. No, never alone, no, never alone. such a beautiful song. Such a good message just in that song. Yes. 244. Amen. 244. You may have the joy bells ringing in your heart, and a peace that from you never will depart. Walk the straight and narrow way, live for Jesus every day. He will keep the joy bells ringing in your heart. Joy bells ringing in your heart. Joy bells ringing in your heart. Take the Savior here below with you everywhere you go. He will keep the joy bells ringing in your heart. Love of Jesus, its full fullness you may know, and this love to those around you sweetly show. Words of kindness always say, deeds of mercy do each day. And he'll keep the joy bells ringing in your heart. Joy bells ringing in your heart. Joy bells ringing in your heart. Take the Savior here below with you everywhere you go. He will keep the joy bells ringing in your heart. You will meet with trials as you journey home. Grace sufficient he will give you to overcome. Though unseen by mortal eye, he is with you nigh and nigh. He will keep the joy bells ringing in your heart. Joy bells ringing in your heart. Joy bells ringing in your heart. Take the Savior here below with you everywhere you go. He will keep the joy bells ringing. Let your life speak well of Jesus every day. Own his right to every service you can pay. Sinners you can help to win if your life is pure and clean. And you keep the joy bells ringing in your heart. Joy. Joy bells ringing in your heart. Take the Savior here below with you everywhere you go. He will keep the joy bells ringing in your heart. Amen. Yes, sir. 294, and then we're going to sing Matching, and then we'll have an offering. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life from Calvary. Save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory! Special for us, and then Brother Burton will come.
I heard it's Christmas time. I heard Christmas is coming early. I thought it was on the same day, but you can hear anything now. Is this interfering? Sam, I'm moving that. It's still the greatest story ever told. Go ahead, Barb.
A promise and a song, a word too grand for any mind to hold. A tax law and a journey, a stable and some straw. These tell the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here alone. Holds
it's still the greatest story ever told. A hillside and some shepherds, a blaze of blinding light, angels singing carols in the cold. Eternal revelation to men as dull as stone. The glorious, greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory. He is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds. And it's still the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds. And it's still the greatest story ever told. And it's still the greatest story ever told. Amen. Amen. Do I get to introduce the speaker? We have a special guest speaker tonight, if you'll come up. This is Brother Sam. Can we give him a hand? We're glad he's here tonight.
How did I do? Did I do okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Amen. That is what it's all about, the greatest story ever told. That's what it's about. The Lord Jesus, the greatest story ever told. Sometimes we get caught up in a little rat race, and so we are kind of in that today. And so I'll just illustrate this here, and just to tell you where we came from, okay? And so. And so we're kind of rushing around. Betsy, why don't you just tell us a little about, and that's why we're a little late.
We were at a wedding. When our granddaughter got married, and we met up in San Benito Park. It was outside. It was a lovely, sweetest wedding. Both are very in love with the Lord, and so just the whole thing was to and prayer before the wedding. It was so marvelous and sweet. Well, there were 32 of our family there. So, four of our kids, 12 grandkids, and 6 great-grandkids, plus the in-laws. So it was really wonderful. And, you know, the Lord has just been blessing. Because we've been on the road so much, and Thursday we really hit the traffic after a funeral we had to go to up in Hollywood, Forest Lawn Hollywood, and we left the cemetery at 5:15, but the Lord's been merciful to us, so I think I'm going to get on the plane and just crash.
Thank you, thank you. And we need your prayers. Tomorrow we go up to LAX, and Tuesday we fly to Brazil. So, but this, what we want to talk about tonight is the greatest story ever told, right? And that's what we want to do tonight. Actually, here I have two sermons here, and I've debated between the two. And one is a preaching service. One is to preach at you, okay? For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Amen?
Amen.
And so here is this great message here that perhaps I will give sometime. You know, God's mercy, preachers of Christ, and slaves of others. And for example, we have here the ministry here in this chapter of 2 Corinthians. The ministry is triumphant. The ministry is accredited. The ministry is spiritual and glorious. The ministry is honest, because the truth taught is commended by the life. The ministry means suffering. The ministry is motive and objective, and so forth. So this is the preaching message. This is the preaching message. Hey, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
But I don't think we'll preach that tonight. Let me ask you people, what is a devotional? What is a devotional? Well, let me tell you what a devotional is. A devotional is a brief worship service. But I'm afraid tonight we're not even going to have a brief worship service. But a devotional is a brief worship service. They have asked me to speak up at the Miguel Retirement Home up there in January. And they tell me it is a devotional. And the devotional is 20 minutes. And so see, I am up there, I am going to give a devotional, a brief worship service. But I don't think you're going to expect that tonight. Let me ask you something here, Justin, maybe you would be brave. And if I was to ask you here tonight, how many of you are Christians who have received the Lord Jesus Christ into your hearts and you are saved, and you know that you are saved? Okay? You know that you're a born-again Christian. Okay. That's good. Because tonight, rather than a preaching service, I was thinking we'd do a meditation. Most of us here, we're filled with knowledge. We have so much knowledge. We have knowledge about the gospel. We have knowledge about a prophecy. We have so much knowledge, you know. And Paul says that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And so tonight, I want to try to get it down a little bit to a little bit more nitty-gritty Christian living. And let me tell you that when I say this, that every day I struggle to walk with the Lord. Every day there is sin in my life, thoughts and words and actions and attitudes. You know? And so what I want to share with you is our blessings that I have received in trying to walk with the Lord daily. And this has to do with what we just sang tonight. He promised not to leave me alone. Amen? And joy bells, look at this. Joy bells ringing in my heart. Wow. And victory in Jesus. And that's what we want. And so tonight, I'm going to give you some things that have been blessing me day by day, and I'm trying to walk with the Lord without being a hypocrite, huh? Without being filled with self. You know, it's very hard for preachers. I mean, pray for preachers, pray for our preacher, pray for our pastor, because we use illustrations from every that we've had in our experience. Betsy and I could bring up enormous illustrations of our life on the Amazon River and then down in Uruguay and all over the place. And the problem is when we preach, because we use our illustrations, it seems to bring focus on ourselves. We seem to be bragging. It is very hard for a preacher to preach not himself, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And it's very, as Pastor mentioned the other day, motives, pure motives, pure thoughts, pure attitudes, pure actions. Every time we get up and do something, it's very hard that we're not focusing on ourselves. And when we sing up here, whatever we do, how do you get away from self-centeredness and pride? Very difficult. Very difficult. And so these are the struggles that we have. But today I want to emphasize something a little different. The Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit in our lives. And so first of all, let me just establish something about what Jesus promised about the Holy Spirit. He promised that he would send the Holy Spirit. And so let me just read these as an introduction, okay? He says here, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Then we read again in John, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." And he says again here in chapter 16, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And then after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, why, we had all of the believers filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. But there was an incident in the early church that was kind of a sad one, of Ananias and Sapphira. You remember, sold a piece of land, and they said that they gave all the money, and they lied. And so here, what we have here, Peter says to them, "Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." And so we have here, what I want to establish here is the person of the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God. And so that is what we want to look at tonight. Let us pray. Father, we come before you now this evening, and we bow before you and open our hearts and minds and lives and ask you, Lord, lead by your Holy Spirit, glorify your Son Jesus in our midst, O Lord, as we consider these things. Bless our time together. Be with Pastor Father and his family. Bless them up in Riverside. Give them a wonderful family time up there. And so we ask you for your blessing upon them. So be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I was thinking about the doxology. Let's sing the doxology. Here we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sure, why not? We don't sing the doxology in Baptist churches. You only sing the doxology in Presbyterian churches. But anyhow, we say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Okay, and what we want to see here is the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul gives us four commandments concerning our walk with the Lord, concerning our walk with the Holy Spirit. Two of these commandments are negative, and two of these commandments are positive. Let's look, first of all, at the two negative teachings of the Apostle Paul on the Holy Spirit. The first one we want to look at is in Ephesians chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4. And what he says here, he tells the believers, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not hurt the Holy Spirit. If we are Christians, we have been born of the Spirit of God. We have been baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by the Spirit into the day of redemption. And we have here then Paul saying in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Don't grieve, don't hurt the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Or if you're a believer, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are the Lord's. And so how can we grieve or hurt the Holy Spirit who indwells us? Here are some of the ways we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil. In contrary to these things, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we see that these negative things grieve the Holy Spirit. And that's why I told you before, I've been working on this, but I haven't been very good. Is it true? Is it loving? Is it necessary? Is this little bit of gossip true? Oh, yeah! You know, is this little bit of gossip kind? Well, not no. Is it necessary? No way, Jose. You do not have to repeat, because these things, an attitude of bitterness, an attitude, grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And so here I need to walk in the Spirit. I need to live in the Spirit, in order not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So grieving the Holy Spirit. What we want to do here is get our knowledge down into our walking with the Lord moment by moment. And this moment by moment by walk is a moment by moment walk. You can come into this church building and you're all okay until you come in through the doors, you know? And then you don't like somebody's tie, or you don't like whatever, and a negative thought comes into your mind. an impure thought, whatever. And all you have to say, Lord, wash me, cleanse me, you know, and you have this grieving of the Holy Spirit. There's another one in First Thessalonians, and I just love this passage. I don't know why I have memorized it necessarily, but it's First Corinthians chapter 5. And it says here, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. It seems to be in this context, it's talking about the family of God in worship. It's talking about the congregation, because it says, despise not prophesying, preachings, teachings, whatever there. And it says, despise, it says, quench not. Don't put out the flame of the Holy Spirit in the congregation. All of you here have gifts of the Holy Spirit. You have natural talents, you have spiritual gifts, and the Lord just wants to make us a happy bunch, joyful, joy bells in the heart. We want to have a wonderful, live congregation of believers in the Lord. But we can quench that. We can put out the flame. Now it says here, be discerning, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So you need to be in the Word of God, as we've heard and heard, be in the Word of God to discern what is of the Spirit and what is not of the Holy Spirit. Well, let me say it. So here we have these two negative thoughts here of don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit, maybe in your own life, even in our own lives. And so let me tell you what helps me. Because what is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is pretending to be something that you ain't, you know? And oh man, maybe you are faced with hypocrisy. I am faced with hypocrisy. I am facing not living like I want to live for the Lord, you know? And there's worries and anxieties and fears, you know? All sorts of things bombarding us. But what helps me when you're conscious? The Holy Spirit convinces you of what's going on in your life. Now you can resist the Spirit. You can say, no. You can quench the Spirit. You can grieve the Spirit. Or you can say, oh Lord, I think right in here helps me. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When these things come in, Lord, I confess my sin. I confess my pride. I confess my hypocrisy. I confess my thoughts. And I cry, Lord, wash me. I confess my sin. Wash me. And His promise, He shall forgive your sin. He shall cleanse you. You know? And if we confess our sins. But I like this right along this, right in this area right here. Right also, if we walk in the light, as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us. It's the present tense. It's a present tense verb. He keeps on cleansing us from all sin. It keeps cleansing us. So here, we are conscious of grieving the Spirit. We are conscious of quenching the Spirit. Then we confess our sin unto the Lord. And we receive cleansing, and we walk. And then there's the possibility of the two positives, to be filled with the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. And so here we have, back in Ephesians 5, we have this wonderful thing of being filled with the Spirit. And so Paul says, don't be, as a preacher, as pastors emphasize these things to him, be not drunk with wine, be not possessed with wine, but in contrast, that's an illustration, but be filled with the Spirit. Be being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody unto the Lord, giving thanks unto the Lord, giving thanks unto God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. thankfulness, being thankful in everything, give thanks, because the Lord is with us. And so here is the evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Am I filled with the Spirit? Is there joy? Is there psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Is there giving thanks, having a life of thanksgiving? And be committing submitting yourselves one to another. You know, what we have done, our generation, my generation, what we did with Ephesians chapter 5 is we divided it at verses 21 and 22, and we came in and we said, wives, be submissive to your husbands. we love that. Boy, wives, be submissive to your husbands and everything. Of course, they forgot to say that agape love, which is impossible, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. Something maybe we will ask you to pray about. We've been asked to speak at a couple's retreat in April in Spanish up in the mountains of San Bernardino to give a conference on couples, young couples, to be up in the mountains. By my ex-student. I see I had these students, and this particular one, Jose Alguera, is the manager of all the Wendy's in San Diego County. And he was one of my students, and he's a pastor up in Vista. But one thing is, hey, submissiveness. It says, be submissive one to another. And then it says, hey, that means husbands are submissive to your wives. If you haven't learned that, you better. And wives are husbands submissive to their husbands, so forth. But that's another context there. But the idea here is if we are filled with the Spirit, we are joyful Christians. We are happy Christians. We're submissive to the Lord. We're submissive to one to another in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are just joyful, right? And we are growing. So one is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The other, of course, is to walk in the Spirit. And Paul deals with this in Galatians chapter 5. And these things in my life, and I just say because they are helping me, are daily meditations. Meditations, you know, of just walking with the Lord. Wash me, cleanse me. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for your presence, for your peace and love and joy. But here it is the contrast. Paul says it's difficult. He says that there's a war going on in our souls constantly. And so he says here that this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh or the desires of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, walking. In the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And he says, because of the war, there's a war, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Have you experienced that? Are you experiencing that? If you're not experiencing it, you're not alive. You're not alive, Christian, because this is another thing. I've noticed by reading Spurgeon and some of these guys, that the closer you come to the Lord, the more conscious you are of sin. Yeah. You're conscious. The father of this groom who got married today, he's from Montana. And he said, what brought him to the Lord was Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that's what brought this guy to the Lord. He realized that. And when we walk to the Lord, closer to the Lord, Satan attacks us more. You know? And so we have to learn to walk with him. But here he says that there's a battle. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And he gives the works of the flesh. And they're all that negative stuff. But then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I don't know if you meditate on that every day. If you just say, Lord, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, And I join it with Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit which is given unto me. You know? And here, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and meekness and humility and tenderness and self-control. Control of the self by the Holy Spirit. This is what I want. This is what I want. To walk with the Lord. You know, that we might walk with him in this way. And so we have here these wonderful things of walking with the Lord. And not grieving the Spirit, not quenching the Spirit, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I like to think of being possessed and controlled, you know, and filled with the Spirit of God and walking with the Lord. Being joyful. I was thinking also in the fruit of the Spirit, and then what happens in our lives. And this, I don't know if you sing. Do you sing in your car? Do you sing these little choruses that just are so not? Thank you, Lord. Let's sing. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me the great salvation so rich and free. Here's another one I like, Into My Heart. Now, this isn't scriptural. Some of these songs we sing aren't very good scripture, you know? This one is the Lord Jesus is already in our hearts. See, we're already saved. And the Lord Jesus is in our hearts. But because, just for my experience, I can sing just a little chorus. And I don't need to sing it in the sense that Christ is not in my life, but in the sense I want to walk with the Lord. Amen. So I sing this one too, something. I should take one off, something up. Okay. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Well, of course he's already in our hearts, but in the sense that we want to walk with him. Here's another one that we think that's really not very scriptural either. But Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Well, the Holy Spirit is already in us, and we're to be filled with the Spirit and walk with the Holy Spirit. Well, we sing this chorus. It's in our book, okay? As we said, Spirit of the living God, okay? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. May mold me, make me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Isn't that neat? And I don't know if you husbands and wives travel, but Betsy and I, every time we're in the car, we sing. We pray, we quote scripture, we have a wonderful time with these choruses, right? And our desire is to walk with the Lord. Well, perhaps for tonight, just briefly then, we have seen that we have also that the one thing too I meditate on is that you pray, you know, and you say, okay, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, you know, and you quote the fruit of the Spirit, and you yield yourself to the Lord. And then one thing is helpful to all of us, and we all know Galatians 2:20, for I am crucified with Christ. You know, it's a what we call, it's called an action that begins in the past and continues in the present, what we call the imperfect tense. Meaning, so it says, I have been crucified with Christ. So we have, and I am crucified with Christ. You see, it's an action. I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet no longer I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I love to stop there in my prayer and say, Lord, thank you for loving me and giving yourself for me. And then Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for me. So Lord, thank you for loving me and giving yourself for me. And Lord, I lay down my life to serve the congregation up on the hill this evening. I lay down my life to serve Bessie with love and tenderness and care. I lay down my life to serve others, because that's what life is all about. Life is knowing the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, not being self-centered, but reaching out and reaching and serving others. And that's really what it's all about, isn't it? That's what life is really all about. And so this evening, thank you very much for, first of all, for coming tonight. Appreciate that. And may this be helpful to remember that we don't want to grieve the Spirit. We don't want to quench the Spirit. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we want to walk in the Spirit with all the fruit of the Spirit and be guided. And the key is to be able to confess sin. And then to claim the cleansing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's just have a word of prayer tonight. And again, I would just leave you to a kind of a private prayer, like a decision, some kind of, yes, Lord, here I am, or whatever. Shall we do that? And then I'll close in prayer. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for these dear people here in the congregation this evening, Lord. And Lord, here we are, your people, and we want to know you. We want to, as Peter says, to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for sending the Comforter, the Helper, the Paraclete of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to bring comfort and guidance and leading in our lives. And Lord, we would by faith, Lord, keep us. We would not grieve you. We would not grieve the Holy Spirit or quench the Spirit, but we would indeed desire to walk, to be filled with the Spirit, and to walk in the Spirit, and that the fruit of the Spirit might be manifested in our growing in the Lord. Lord, keep us from becoming bitterer and bitterer, but that we might be better and better for your glory and praise and honor. And so, Lord, I thank you for each one here. If there is a person here who has not received the Lord Jesus as their Savior, you're able to do that tonight. You're able to say yes to Jesus and open your heart and tell him that you are a sinner and that you receive him into your heart as your Savior from sin. You can make that decision tonight. But Lord, we will all want to make a decision to just to hang in there and to keep on keeping on and to growing in the Lord, being transformed more and more to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ from glory to glory, even as by the Lord the Spirit. And thank you, Lord, in your precious name. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Amen. God bless. Lord.